So I want to show you a picture that has been on my mind this week, and it's actually not of my kids or of my pets. But it is this picture here. It's a picture of a soldier shortly after World War II on the morning that East Berlin was separated from West Berlin. In the dark of the night, while they slept, barbed wire went up along the Bernaustrasse, dividing the city in two. And this soldier saw a young boy who was stranded on the wrong side. And you can see the fear in his eyes. But he knew deep down that this was not the way that things were supposed to be. That this barrier that divides us from each other is unnatural. It's wrong. And so with courage and compassion, he reaches over and he lifts the boy across the barricade to safety, no matter the consequences. An act that seems so small in the face of great world powers, but it was the good that was in front of him, and he did it. As Isaac Stern says, quoting the Talmud in Schindler's List, to save one life is to save the world entire. That picture moves me because we understand that, don't we? It seems like we woke up this past week in the middle of the night, the barbed wire was stretched out down the middle of our streets. The world looked different and divided. Our hearts hurt. We saw people that we loved on the other side, and we saw people caught up in it, unsafe. This is not the way that things are supposed to be. And it breaks our hearts, and it breaks the heart of God, the God who is the defender of the vulnerable, the protector of the weak, God who loves what is true and good, the God who says there is no Jew or Greek or slave or free or male or female, who calls us to love our neighbor and who loves us all. This is not the way things are supposed to be. And so we look around at our world like that soldier and say, what can I do to help? How can I help? We ask that question. Maybe we ask a few other things as we scroll Facebook and mumble under our breath, right? But friends, this week, as we've sat together, I've seen you looking around and lifting each other up, laying yourself down at the bridge over troubled water, reaching out to make others safe. And I've heard your hearts ask those very questions. What do we do? What are we called to? How can we help? And for me, friends, there is no place that I would rather ask those questions and live into the answers in the weeks to come than right here with you, Arapaho. Here, where our community is a wide, blessed, inclusive spectrum of everyone, those who like sour candies and those who like chocolates too. Those here where our vision statement calls us to open the door wide for all to experience and embody the healing, reconciling love of God. Here where we believe that God is love, that Jesus' way is love of neighbor, and the Spirit of God is found in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Here, where we believe that everyone is a child of God, of sacred worth, colorful, beloved, equal, all genders, races, orientations, origins, and creeds. And here, where we raise our children to know this too. Here, where our baptismal vows call us to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves. Here, where we believe that God is at work in our lives and toward a world that is more just and loving and free and invites us, compels us to take part, to pray, to speak, to act for that world, to stand with the vulnerable, the immigrant, the outcast, the orphan, to stand against the systems and institutions that uphold supremacy and patriarchy and a religious nationalism that takes the Lord's name in vain. Here, where we believe that God is love, and that we're called to be that as well, with open hearts and minds and arms to God and to each other, here, Arapaho, with you and with each other. I want to ask that question here because you've asked it before and you've responded. For 60 years, this church has chosen the courageous, creative, constructive, Christ-like way, standing for what is right, for racial justice in the 1970s, for peace from wars in the 2000s, for LGBTQ inclusion and gender equity and immigrant rights and more. And even in those times when it felt like you stood alone, you stood with doors open and arms outstretched, choosing to reach across the barriers and the barbed wire in this world and to reach out in love and to do the good that was in front of us. And because of that, today, we do not stand alone in this work. Lives are different. This community is different. The United Methodist Church is different because of you and others and what God has done through us all. And so when I ask, what do we do now, friends? The answer is simple. We continue. We continue. We can stop and catch our breath for a bit. We can pray and heal and listen and learn. But in time, we check back in. We put down Facebook for a little while. We uncross our arms and open our hearts, and we continue. But we continue in that work today with a deeper conviction, with renewed clarity that this work is sacred and it is important and that it matters. And now in our time, it is our calling to continue the work of love. Arapaho, this is our time. In recent years, like many of you, I've looked to the peacemakers of the civil rights era, a time when there were some creative, compassionate, courageous, forward-leaning churches that helped change the world. It was not all churches, of course, not even most churches. But those churches who were committed to peace and justice made a real difference. And the witness of their hard-won wisdom gives us hope that new things are possible. And yet the struggle of it all reminds us that the work is never easy, that these issues are deep and they are old. And so I think of Dr. King's profound words from 1968, just 2 months before Memphis. He said, "We can accept finite disappointment, but we must never lose our infinite hope." Dr. King could say that because his hope was in the infinite love and righteousness and justice of God. It carried him through the real struggles of this finite world. Hope in a love that is greater than anything, a love that wins, that is making all things new. And until it does, we will continue in our communities, in our homes, in our schools, in our workplaces. In ways small and big, we choose to be new when all around us is old, trusting that love is infinitely powerful. No matter how small or finite it seems at times, we choose to do the good that is in front of us. As Dr. King said, if you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But whatever you do, you have to keep moving forward. And the dream of God calls us on. A dream of that civil rights movement wasn't just legal or political. Those were important aims, and they worked for them. But even more, it was so much more than that. It was a part of a God vision, what we heard today called the beloved community, the vision that Jesus called the kingdom of God, a community with love at its center, where we are all regarded as beloved children of God, a community not of uniformity, but of harmony in love and diversity in life. And so Dr. King wrote of the true goal of the beloved community, one that transcends political change. He said, desegregation will break down the legal barriers and bring humanity together physically, but something must happen so as to touch the hearts and souls of humanity that they will come together, not because the law says it, but because it is natural and right. The end is reconciliation. The end is redemption. The end is the creation of the beloved community. Building the beloved community is why the path, the slower, harder path of nonviolence was so essential for Dr. King and Jesus, because the end is a community that is centered in love, and how we get there and how we live into it matters. The means create the ends. Love builds the beloved community. So the work we continue will always be the work of love. So how do we do that? Do we just go out in the world and like do the Care Bear stare as we go, right? I mean, if you can do that, go for it. But for the rest of us, I want to offer us four guiding words to shape our path and to shape the character of the community of love that we seek to build along with God. We find them in the letter to the Romans. Paul writes this to followers who are navigating the way of love in the deep divisions under the Roman Empire. And so Paul describes the beloved community, the kingdom, like this. He says, the kingdom of God is justice and righteousness, joy and peace. Justice and righteousness, joy and peace. That is how we continue, by working in love for those four things. We continue our work to work for justice. One of Arapaho's core pillars of our life together is to advocate for justice. Justice means fairness and equality, opportunity, reparation from harm for all of God's children. As the theologians say, justice is love in action. It is our social holiness. Or as Walter Rauschenbusch wrote in 1910, justice is simply love with its work clothes on. Right now, we got some overalls to put on. We've got work to do. We'll take courage, organization, intention. But above all, it takes love. Justice, love in action, is how we build the beloved community. It is our calling. Psalm 82 says it like this: give justice to the weak and the orphan. Maintain the right of the lowly and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. Many of us around and around us feel that weak and vulnerable right now. Vulnerable because of how they were born or where they were born, their identity, religion, immigration status, skin color, gender identity, disability. We need, as a church seeking justice, to speak up, to say clearly we reject racism and bigotry, transphobia, violence, hatred, misogyny. Our God is love, and we believe in the separation of church and hate. But most of all, we need not just to speak up, but to act up, to defend the vulnerable, seek justice in just institutions, to keep advocating Arapaho for the unhoused and welcoming refugees and helping our immigrant neighbors navigate the legal system, to ensure that women can find safe reproductive care, and to journey toward racial justice. This work that we are doing calls us to continue. It takes courage, but our God, who is protector of the vulnerable, rejoices when we make the vulnerable safe. We will continue to build a loving community by pursuing justice. And we will continue to build a community through that second word, righteousness. Wait, what? What does that word mean, right? We rarely use that word righteous unless we say self-righteous. We say that one time to time. Or unless we're Bill and Ted and we're playing air guitar in a righteous. But in Hebrew, in the Hebrew scriptures, there's these two contrasting ways of being, the righteous and the wicked. Both Bill and Ted words, actually, come to think of it now. Like this, in Psalm 29, or in Proverbs 29, 2 and 28, 12, when the righteous thrive, it says, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, people go into hiding. Sometimes the Bible, y'all. So what does that mean, righteous and wicked? What is that about? So let's turn to an expert, this guy here, this guy named Bruce Waltke. He is a preeminent Hebrew scholar who edits the lexicon that all of the preeminent Hebrew scholars use. And so we all know Bruce, right? We're all familiar with him and his work. So in all of Hebrew wisdom literature, he looks at these two words, righteous and wicked, and he summarizes them like this. The wicked are those willing to disadvantage the community to advantage themselves. The righteous are willing to forego their own advantage in order to advantage the community. To be righteous is not about being right, but it's about being in right relationship with others, using what we have for the good of those around us, even at a personal cost. We're called to righteousness in this time, a righteousness that reflects God's kind of love, which does not seek its own benefit, but the good of all. And this is the way of Jesus that calls us to humility even when it's hard, to put others first, to let go of the need to be proven right if it keeps us from being right with each other. It calls our love to be generous and vulnerable and open-hearted for the good of those around us. The way of righteousness, putting the good of the community first, is how we build the beloved community. The next word in Paul's description is the word joy. And I love that this appears in Paul's vision of the community that we're building, because joy, that stubborn gladness, is woven through the great resistance liberation movements of our faith. Jesus said it to his disciples in the hardest seasons of their life. He says this in John 16, "Now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you." Civil rights author Alice Walker echoed him, saying, "Joy is the secret of resistance. This is what liberation means. Joy tenaciously claims our sacred worth and the wonder of this world, helping us to remember to still love this place and those around us, just like God does, and giving us a glimpse of the future that we're called to create. And joy collected over time is like a reservoir that fuels our resilience, grounding us in that God-forged joy that is greater than our circumstances. And so, friends, as we continue in this work, we will have joy. We will claim it here and everywhere we go. We will fight for it in our lives. We will lift it up in the laughter of children's time, even in the dad jokes from your pastor. We will find it. We will find it in the soul-lifting music of this place as we sing together and Kung Ray rocks out and the choir claims, "This is me," in full Broadway regalia. We will claim our joy in classrooms and potlucks and in our work together. We will have joy, friends, because we are beloved, and love brings joy. We'll keep building the beloved community with justice and righteousness and joy and with peace. Peace. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." We embody our divine calling when we reach into this barbed wire world of conflict and division with open arms and minds and hearts, and we work to make peace. Now, it doesn't say, Jesus does not say, "Blessed are the peacekeepers," right? As if peace means ignoring the wrongs and just making sure that everyone's quiet and smiling and shiny and happy. No, peacemaking is the harder, deeper work that Dr. King said is the true goal. The end is reconciliation. The end is the beloved community. Reconciliation, replacing hostility with mutuality and peace. This is what we are working toward. It's our calling. And it is our God-given ministry. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation, 2 Corinthians says, as if God were making an appeal through us. God's appeal and the work that we're called calls us to get rid of the hostile things, to roll up the barbed wire in our streets, refuse to let our communities and our relationships pull apart, refuse to let the vulnerable be endangered, refuse to let cruelty rule. We're called to the courageous work in its place to forge something better, to make peace. And it isn't always reciprocated. God's appeal isn't always heard and embraced. But Jesus doesn't say, "Blessed are the peace finishers." That's above our pay grade, right? It says, "Blessed are the peace makers." Do the things that make for peace in all the ways you can, for all that you can, for as long as you can. Keep reaching out, keep pulling up the barbed wire, keep making others safe, and don't give up. Keep your arms outstretched, your hearts open, your hope kindled. Stay tender and practice love. Even one small step toward peace builds the beloved community. Even one saves the world entire. Continue building with justice and joy and righteousness and peace. But I don't have to tell you that, Arapaho. This is who God has always called us to be. This is who we have always been at our best. And it is who we are called to be right now. And it is how we will answer the call of our time together, with deep conviction, with renewed clarity, with God's empowering grace. We will answer the call. It starts here, by reaching our hands out to each other, to be a community that is for each other. As bridges, and those times we need to cross the troubled waters. And then together, we will reach out our hands to a world who needs hope and faith and love. We will continue to build the beloved community here in Richardson, in Dallas, in Austin, at the border, across the nation, around the world, the kingdom of God, the beloved community. We will build it with justice and righteousness and joy and peace. We will build it with love. Arapaho, the challenge of this time calls us deeply. And together, we will answer it with deeper love. And so what will we do? We will continue. Today, friends, I want to leave you with a poem and a prayer. It's a poem written by Maya Angelou, Black woman, survivor, poet, prophet. A poem this week that has been my prayer for you, for me, for us together in the work ahead. It's a poem that invites us to continue. My wish for you is that you continue. Continue to be who and how you are, to astonish a mean world with your acts of kindness. Continue to allow humor to lighten the burden of your tender heart. Continue in a society dark with cruelty to let the people hear the grandeur of God in the peals of your laughter. Continue to let your eloquence elevate the people to heights they had only imagined. Continue to remind people that each is good, is as good as the other, and that no one is beneath nor above you. Continue to remember your own young years and look with favor upon the lost and the least and the lonely. Continue to put the mantle of your protection around the bodies of the young and defenseless, continue to take the hand of the despised and diseased and walk proudly with them. In the high street, some might see you and be encouraged to do likewise. Continue to plant a public kiss of concern on the cheek of the sick and the aged and infirm, and count that as a natural action to be expected. Continue to let gratitude be the pillow upon which you kneel, to say your nightly prayer, and let faith be the bridge you build to overcome evil and welcome good. Continue to ignore no vision which comes to enlarge your range and increase your spirit. Continue to dare deeply, to love deeply, and risk everything for the good thing. Continue to float happily in the sea of infinite substance, which set aside riches for you before you had a name. Continue, and by doing so, you and your work will be able to continue eternally. Friends, may we continue. Amen.